You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of Go Fuck Yourself. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. Stank Nilakina, a.k.a. Fat Trick Ewing, a.k.a. Charles Toakley, a.k.a. Ronaldo Outlined in Chalkman, a.k.a. Def Jam Gundy, a.k.a. Michael Swoliak, a.k.a. Spaghetti Curry, a.k.a. Push a Z-Bo, a.k.a. Jeff Jersey Shornacek, a.k.a. Ennis Cantor Stop, Ennis Wonter Stop, a.k.a. Tim Fardaway Possessions, a.k.a. The Analytics Aristocrat, The Eye Test Empresario, a.k.a. Cormac McStarksy, a.k.a. He Got Shame, a.k.a. Flirt Thomas, a.k.a. Mike What's Good Son, a.k.a. Dave Cut the Check-Its, a.k.a. Who Got the Keys to the Bima Servacio, a.k.a. Slobbert Randolph and the Family Band, a.k.a. Trill Jackson, a.k.a. Mike Yasbreen, a.k.a. Dave DeBoucher. Get it? Halloween? DeBoucher. Get it? And this, my friends, is episode 200. On today's show, we have a very special guest, co-host of the NBA Injury Report podcast, which is now on indefinite hiatus. It may come back someday. But right now, I'm holding the reins at Locked On Knicks. There's no time for that. That's right. It's the one. It's the only. Brad. For those of you who have not been following me since the NBA Injury Report podcast days, Brad was my co-host. He was the world's best motherfucking co-host. And he's a little bit like Cousin Sal, only 8 million times cooler. You know what I mean? Like, I've known Brad since middle school. We go way back. Grew up in Jersey together. Diehard Knicks fan. Great guy. And I'm super excited to have him on for our 200th show. We're going to talk about the Knicks' stunning three-game winning streak, focusing on Monday's game against the Nuggets, that magnificent victory. Mwah! We're going to talk about Kristaps. We're going to talk about Kyle. We're going to talk about Frank. We're going to talk about Jeff. We're going to talk about Jack. We're going to talk about Kuz and many more people and subjects and trends and statistics and all that good shit. One quick update before we start. My bust on no show this morning, on Monday morning. Tuesday morning, excuse me. I recorded an episode last night. While editing it, my computer like froze up and Audacity junked it. Dog ate my homework, basically. Except for true. Not lying about it. Why would I do that? Come on. Why would I record a podcast? Well, if I lied about it, I didn't record the podcast, right? But I didn't lie about it. I'm sorry. I hope you guys enjoy this very special episode. I think you guys are going to love Brad if you haven't met him yet. If you have met him, you know what you're in for. Let's start the show.
Yes!
All right, welcome to the show, Brad. How you doing today?
Hey, everybody.
Oh, I stepped on your hey, everybody.
Oh. It's been a long time, James.
It's been way too long. I let everyone know who you were in the introduction, so don't feel like you need to reintroduce yourself. Your name is Brad. Bah, bah, bah. Yeah. Yep. are you dressing up for anything today, Brad? We're recording this on Halloween.
No, but I do have a sick costume. One of my coworkers 3D printed me an MF Doom mask. That looks really good. But I kind of, like, do you see anything problematic there? Me being a Caucasian male wearing an MF Doom mask?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to do blackface or anything.
Yeah, I think that would be definitely taking it way too far.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've got, like, a Knicks hoodie. He always, whenever I saw him perform live, he would always wear, like, some kind of Knicks gear.
Oh, yeah. That's a great Knicks-related costume. That's, like, not, it's not A to B, it's A to C. That's a good jump.
I mean, I got no plans. Like, I didn't, you know that I'd have a sick Halloween costume, but now I can just do it every year from now on. But,
3D printed? Is your friend, like, some sort of... maker?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a side business, Steez. Oh. So they're legit with their 3D printing. I was surprised how nice this thing turned out.
Can they 3D print like a realistic looking face, or does it have to look like an object that's made of like metal or stone or whatever?
What kind of face are you imagining?
Like Frank Ntilikina's face.
I doubt it.
Okay.
Like, unless there's like, they're basically just taking templates off the internet, so I doubt there's one for Frank. Yeah. There might be like a Kristaps template out there, but
there could be. Maybe we can raid the 2K offices and get their like face mapping technology or whatever.
That's what you would need. You would need someone to hack into their offices, get that,
the coordinates. And then
you could 3D print an exact replica of Kristaps' face.
All right. Well, let us know if your friend can do that, and then we'll plug their business, but not until we find out that they can exact replica.
Of course.
All right. Before we get started, I do have to mention, it is our 200th episode, Brad.
My God.
Do you feel any added pressure? We're not having the original host on, who hosted the first 150 episodes.
I thought it was your 200th episode. Okay, so...
No. And, you know, so people were... like, one or two people were like, are you going to have Jared on? And, like, that would be nice, but... We record like 19 of these a day. It's like breathing. Like, I celebrate maybe like my 500th. That's like 2 weeks from now, you know?
So he ended exactly at 150?
I think I was the 150th.
Okay.
He was at 149. So.
Interesting. You know.
But it's not about me. It's about the collective. So maybe I should have made a bigger deal out of it. I don't know. I'm trying to free us from the tyranny of base 10 numbers. But let's... Let's talk about the Knicks. Let's get to it. Let's talk about last night's thrilling victory at home against the Denver Nuggets. They won 116 to 110. So the Knicks were 2-3 coming into this game, coming off a blowout victory at Cleveland. This was the second night of a back-to-back. I'm wondering how you were feeling going into this, Brad. How'd you like their chances?
I was not confident.
Uh-huh.
I watched the Cleveland game. Figured they'd be spent after that, and I was happy to see them come out to an early lead and finally like hold on to it. I did think they were going to lose once they blew that lead, but I need more faith in Kristaps, man.
I mean, you definitely do. I want to start off by talking about, do you remember last year when Jokic came in and sunned the shit out of KP and dropped 40 at the Garden?
Yeah, I do, unfortunately. Yeah. I tried to wipe it out of my mind, but I do remember that.
Yeah, so I was, and I tweeted this, so there's proof. I was like, KP KP owes Jokic a sunning. And in the early going, in the first quarter, like it looked chippy to the degree where like Kristaps looked like he was like actively trying to sun him in particular. Like, extra, he was bodying him a little bit, like when they were already out of bounds, that kind of thing. And I was like, oh, he definitely remembers he's trying to sun him. And they asked him about it after the game. They're like, was that in your mind at all, last year's performance? And he kind of, like, smiled. And he was like, of course. You know, I remember. What do you have, like, 40? You know, which, like, he did. And then he smiled some more. And he was like, yeah, I was just happy we got the W. Like, I was happy we got the W. But he was definitely happy that he sunned the shit out of him. So in the first quarter, the Knicks got off to like a hot start. A lot of that was Kristaps Porzingis. A lot of that was Jarrett Jack, who had 9 first half assists against the Nuggets. What did you think of the move from Ramon Sessions to Jarrett Jack as the starter, Brad?
I mean, he's undefeated as starter, right?
Like, yeah.
These last three games that they've won in a row, right?
Did you call it before he got in there? Were you like, yeah, that's a good
move? Oh, yeah. I've got plenty of tweets. My account's private, though, so you can't see it. I definitely tweeted they're not losing another game now that Jarrett Jack is starting.
Yep.
It is weird to see him out there. I'm like, who the hell is this bootleg guy? But, I mean,
you can't argue with the results.
I can't.
I mean, I've been kind of like shitting on Hornacek this year, you know, starting with Billy not playing. But, yeah. I mean, the Jack thing, like, I was like... I don't know what he's doing. You know, if anything, I'd like to see Sessions and, you know, Ron Baker, because, like, you know, Ntilikina was still, like, hurt or whatever. But so I ran these numbers before last night's game, so they're not updated, but it was already, like, pretty stark just after, like, two Jarrett Jack starts. So assist percentages. So they each had played three games at this point when I ran these numbers. Ramon Sessions had assisted on 30% of Nick's baskets while he was on the court. And Jarrett Jack had assisted on 42%.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's a stunning right there. Now, we talk about turnovers. Last night's game in the third quarter, especially. The Knicks have struggled with turnovers all season. Ramon Sessions, in his three games, had a 19.4% turnover rate. So on 20% of possessions he was on the court, he was turning it over. One out of five.
What?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, the Knicks look like by far the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, all over the place, and they all looked awful. So I think Sessions kind of got lost because it's like, how come Hardaway's awful? How come Lee is awful? Like, no one had hit a three-pointer yet.
Right.
But I think that was hiding under the radar of a lot of people. Jarrett Jack in his three games, again, these are excluding last night, but that only, like, got better, basically. He had only turned it over on 9.4% of possessions, which is, like, really good for a point guard, especially, who's handling it all the time. They both shot like Dookie, so the shooting isn't what's happening. Is what is changing things. But Ramon Sessions was also fouling the shit out of people. 4.6 fouls per 36 minutes versus Jarrett Jack's 2.8 fouls per 36 minutes. So, and that all added up to Sessions was minus 45 total in his three games, and Jarrett Jack was plus 21. So, Hornacek, I was shitting all over, but it was a good move. It's only worked swimmingly.
One odd stat I did see yesterday was that KP was even, like, with his plus minus.
Yeah.
Overall.
I think. I
really odd.
Yeah. Plus minus game to game is, like, really interesting and really accurate sometimes, and sometimes I don't think it's, like, because if KP's on the floor, let's say, when, like, Enes Kanter decides he doesn't want to play defense for eight possessions in a row, like, he gets hit with those minus
right
points, you know what I mean? And if he's on the floor, like, all the time, so it's a little bit tricky, but it's one, you know, grain of salt. You got a grain of salt, Bay,
right,
with those. Chris Stapps, I talked about this on the show a couple episodes ago. He keeps shooting from like 400 feet out, like during his heat checks. And I was like, if he ever hits one, the Garden crowd is going to lose it. And he did in the first quarter. Did you see that? Like, he had that 8 million foot three-pointer.
Yeah. And that was all over Instagram, too.
And
like that made the whatever you call it, social media, the blogs.
Showing your age. It definitely, it was all over the place. But I'm curious what the reaction was. Did you say you watched this in a bar?
Yeah, so I actually watched this game at a bar, and when I asked, it was an empty bar, basically, and I asked the bartender to turn on the Knicks. I think they had, like, Countdown to Monday Night Football on, and the bartender, like, laughed at me. He was like, why the hell would you ever want to watch the Knicks? And I'm in New York City, like, in Manhattan, and he's still laughing at me.
You're, like, 15 blocks from the Garden?
Seriously. But I forced him to put it on, and it was weird because I like to hear the announcers. I want to hear Clyde give his perspective. But also, I can't hear the crowd reaction. So when Chris Stapps hit that three, I don't know really what it sounded like. Did you watch with the sound on?
I did. And the crowd, I think, was just stunned in the Garden. They were like, what? Like, Breen and Clyde were, like, losing it. But the kind of shame on the Garden. I want to give a Bargnani to the Garden last night. They were like, oh, Was anyone else watching it in the bar but you? Like, did
no.
Anyone?
No. I was the only one watching it. Like, even like the bartender didn't even, like, give me, like, the cursory, like, oh, the Knicks are up. Like, nothing.
What kind of a bar was it?
Country bar.
Oh, well.
But, like, I don't know. It was really pretty much empty. Nobody was, like, there were other TVs, and Monday Night Football did eventually start, but no one was watching that either.
Like, country music? Country bar?
Yeah, country music.
Interesting.
I can't go to another bar where they're just playing, like, 80s songs all night, so I need to expand my horizons. I'm not a huge country guy, but it was actually free jukebox night, So
was everyone in there just complaining about like NFL players taking a knee? Was that like the vibe?
It's weird because it's a country bar, but like everyone who comes in is like, "Oh, this is weird." Like no one's on a Monday going in to party really. It's like because it's a country. Like on the weekend, you'll get some people in cowboy hats, but
is there sawdust on the floor?
No, it's a clean bar, but they sell like a bowl,
a mechanical bowl.
Oh,
I'm saying that weird. I can like hear myself saying that weird.
No, it's a tiny bar, no mechanical bowl. But no, I'm saying it weird. But they do have Lone Star beer.
There we go.
Which it's like a Texas beer, and their bottle caps have a little brain teaser thing where you have to put together the shapes and the words to come up with what it means. So those are always fun. Like I think Lion's Head has that.
You need multiple bottle caps to finish the puzzle.
No, it's just one bottle cap. But I don't know if there must be a term for these things where it's like some pictures and it's like a phrase, like.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a pictogram or something.
Who
the hell? Who fucking knows? I don't know why I had a gratuitously curse like that. But moving on, first quarter, the Knicks are rolling. KP looks amazing. The Nuggets can't handle the Knicks' size. Cantor's rolling a little bit. Then they bring in Beasley in the middle of like the Knicks just dominating, who turns it over two times immediately. And Clyde started freaking out about like how he hates when coaches disrupt momentum. He's like, if you're playing great, like leave him in. And I was curious where you stood on that, Brad. Should they leave him in, or you got to give him a rest eventually?
Yeah, I think you got to leave him in. I mean, this is sort of like a big, not to bring it to baseball, but it's a big Phil Mushnick take. Like, don't take out your relievers that are pitching so well just because you have an eighth inning guy.
Right.
Like, if your guy pitches the seventh and strikes out all three batters, don't take him out. That's why these World Series games are going on all night. Like, need to bring in their eighth inning reliever in the eighth inning. So I agree with Clyde. Stick with the momentum. If guy's going well until he starts bricking, leave him in the game. Or if he starts, like, if he says, hey, well, I don't know, who's really going to say they're tired? But
yeah.
You could see him, like, hobbling down the court, then take him out.
All the Brad heads out there, the Brad stands, just, like, high-fived each other when you brought up Mushnick.
I have to do it.
Yeah, it's about 15 minutes into the pod, so didn't take too long. And then at the end of the quarter, there was a lot of time on the clock. The Knicks got a rebound, less than 24 seconds. There was like 8 or 6 seconds left, and McDermott got an open look at three, and he took it. And he didn't hold until the end of the quarter. And then the Nuggets came on the court, and Moutier hit like a really long three. But I don't mind when these guys take wide open shots, especially to end like a first quarter. Because to me, it's like if you get a good shot, take it. If you hold for a shot, they're going to get set up. You're probably not going to get a good one. Like just stay aggressive, keep attacking. I'm curious if you are of the same mind.
I completely agree, especially now that we don't have Melo on the team. Like, that would never have happened because Melo would have the ball and he'd wait until there's half a second left and chuck it up and brick it.
Yes. So,
that's another thing about watching this game on mute, essentially, was there was ball movement. Like, it was fun. It wasn't horrible to watch like they've been for so many years.
Yes. I'm glad to have another fellow Melo hater on the show, because there's a lot of defenders.
Good riddance.
So I tweeted after the game, like Kristaps hit like a really rugged kind of low post turnaround to like seal the game at the end. And I was like, man, Melo would have missed that, and I lost a follower immediately after tweeting. But come on, you gotta be petty a little bit. We suffered through how many years of this guy?
Like, that was the play with he had two men on him too.
Yeah. Draped all over him. So that was the end of the first quarter. Second quarter starts. We got some great minutes from Kyle O'Quinn, who Denver's coach afterwards said Kyle O'Quinn kicked our ass all night. Mike Malone. I actually kind of like fell in love with Mike Malone during the game because. We'll get to the third quarter in a second. Let me just save. I'll save my Mike Malone love for the third quarter. But let me read you Kyle O'Quinn's overall stats since we're bringing him up. He had 15 points on 3 of 4 shooting. He was 9 of 10 from the free throw line. So he was just beasting under the basket. He had 12 rebounds, 5 blocks, And here's that plus minus. He was a team high plus 14, but that one really passed the smell test because you looked at him. He came in, especially in the second after, you know, the Knicks had squandered that huge lead, which we'll get to in a minute, and like really, really stabilized them. Are you still, I'm assuming you weren't happy that O'Quinn was coming in before Billy Hernan Gomez in the early season, but I actually don't know. Did that bother you? What did you think about that?
I mean, he's got a great beard. I have a beard. I'm a Kyle O'Quinn guy.
Yeah.
I want to see Billy play, but especially after yesterday's game, there was an article in the Post, I think, today about how between O'Quinn and Cantor, you have this like beast at the center position, like this two-headed beast. Yeah. And like I'm suit now.
Yeah. I mean, they're dominating on the boards. They're playing great defense at the rim. Like, no one's shooting well against them, and I'll give those stats a little bit later. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those, like, LOL Knicks things, because, like, centers aren't supposed to be important in the modern NBA or whatever. But, so far, so good.
I'm thankful for what we've got.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we have an oddly constructed team. Like, this is absolutely true. There are probably too many centers, but if we have, like, too many of one position and, like, they're all pretty good and are bringing stuff to the table, like, what a delightful problem to have, like, compared to some of the other ones the Knicks have had over the years. So
right, like, three shitty power forwards.
Or, you know, Isaiah Thomas sexually harassing people, Marbury eating Vaseline, all the, you know, Oakley getting dragged off the court, all those kind of things. So at the second quarter, Knicks, they keep rolling. I wrote down, this team is trying so hard. And then I looked at who the lineup was. I was like, wait, who's doing this? And it was actually Frank, their second-round pick, Damian Dotson. Beasley and McDermott were sharing the court. And O'Quinn was at center. So even though like Beasley had two quick turnovers when he came in and I wanted him to get the hook like immediately, he was part of a lineup that did great. McDermott has surprised me. Are you enjoying his play at all this year?
I mean, you got to root for the white guy who can hit threes, right?
You have to, especially if you're from Boston, which neither of us are. But I want to, like, speaking of white guys, which makes me think of baseball and makes me think of your favorite team, Brad. The Mets were in the house last night. Did you see this?
No, I did not.
Oh, you might have missed that in the bar, but like their new manager was at the game. Snyder or Garter, whatever his name is.
Were they sitting together, Syndergaard?
No, but there were like four or five Mets like scattered throughout.
Right on.
Yeah. And it made me think, like, every time I see athletes at like other sporting events, like not their sport, is it just me or do they always look like they have no fucking idea what's going on? They're like, like they're like clapping at weird parts and stuff.
That's a great call.
Right? I feel like they know less than me, because maybe they're so focused on their sport, because they're, like, professional, you know?
Like, I think their lives are just so fantastic that they just, like, don't even, like, they're just, like, in paradise. They're just, like, in ecstasy all the time, except for when they're playing.
They really chopped me down to size real quick.
Was Syndergaard with his girlfriend?
Probably. I didn't take note. He was just like, I was looking at him and I was like, this guy has, like, barely has any idea where he is right now. He looks very confused. Is he going out with some supermodel or something?
Yeah, I mean, some like very attractive woman that he'll put on his Instagram. And I think there was like some weird controversy with him where like his girlfriend did something, like put her fingers in his mouth the other day. They were at like a Ranger game or something.
Oh my God.
There's some good footage of that.
That's a, like, 24-hour news cycle.
I know. I can't believe I even remember that.
Like, if I had a nickel for every time I, like, stuck my fingers in, like, my girlfriend's nose.
Yeah, Noah Syndergaard has mouthful of knuckles at Rangers game. Good footage. Look that up. It's on YouTube, people.
Was Muchnick furious about this? He's like, this is disgusting. He calls himself a role model.
He's got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, so Ntilikina was in the game at this point in the second quarter. He had a couple of really good passes. He stole the ball and then passed to Dotson for a wide open three. Then he barreled into the lane and like picked up his third foul pretty quickly. But I would say overall, he showed the vision that has me creaming my pants on a nightly basis. he showed flashes of really strong D. Are you enjoying the Nilakina experience so far, Brad?
Oh, of course. To get a guy right out to, like, have at least some impact. Like, it was funny watching him play Wade the other night and kind of get sunned, but it's like, that's all part of it. Like, I don't mind that, obviously.
And he also poked it loose from him, like, four separate times on one, like, possession. Like, he was, you know.
Yeah, he didn't give up.
No.
And, like, you know, Dwayne, there was some, like, vintage Wade the other night. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing anyone can do about it.
My last episode was, like, 30 minutes praising Nilakina and how he's absolutely the point guard of the future and our best point guard since Clyde. So that's where I stand on it. Just FYI. He looks great. I mean, he's 19.
He looks so... He looks 19, too. Yeah. Like, he looks...
He's really surprised me with just, like, his point guarding. Like, he looks like he really sees everything. He looks really calm. He's making 19-year-old mistakes, but he looks tremendous to me for that age. Like, you know, get out of here. So the Knicks went into the half with a 20-point lead. Their defense looked great. They were crushing them. Clyde was dropping just, like, great highlights. Billy Hernan Gomez's brother, Juancho, is out with mono. And Mike Breen brought that up. And Clyde was like, isn't that the kissing disease?
isn't it?
yeah, it is. And Breen was cracking up. But, like, there wasn't a lot of noise in the background. So it's going to be a really good sound clip. I want someone out there, please, to isolate that for me. And do a service to Locked On Knicks and send me the MP3 of Clyde asking if mono is the kissing disease. Because I have, like, 17 uses for that. Halftime happens. The third quarter starts. In years past, the third quarter has been the Knicks' graveyard where they get blown out by 1,000 points. But this year, they've had a couple of very good third quarters. This, however, was not one of them. They had a sloppy start to the third, which only got worse and worse. You're like, no, it's down to 7? Like, it was from, like, 23 to 7 in, like, 2 seconds. The Knicks turned it over 12 times, which is an entire game's worth of turnovers. They were turning it over at, like, a league-worst rate the first 3 games when they lost them all, but then were really good at protecting the ball in the next 2 games and then the first half of this one. But that all, it seemed like the genie wish ended. Like when the
right, like, court. So what do you think the halftime speech was from Hornacek?
Like, I think he was, like, was taking a shit and was like, yo, you know, Kuz, fire him up. And Kuz was like, I can't, I'm really sad. They showed Kuzminskas in a suit at one point, and he looked, like, so sad because he was inactive, and it just, like, made me so sad. I miss Do you miss Kuzminskas at all, Brad?
Of course. It's sad to see anyone on the sidelines, like, that actually wants to play.
Yeah. It's got to be especially weird because it's so... It's like wearing a dunce cap. Like,
right.
If you play, you're in a jersey. And you're sitting there and all your friends are in jerseys, but you're wearing a suit and, like, shiny shoes and shit, you know?
Yeah, it's time to relax that rule.
Like, just have them suit up?
No, I don't want them to suit up, but I want them to be able to wear whatever they want.
Oh, yeah. Haven't they relaxed that, like, almost all the way? Russell Westbrook shows up in, like, blood-covered, like, overalls and shit.
Those are, his clothes cost, like, $10,000 for, like, pants, so...
To, like, show us the receipt?
Yeah.
Someone at work over the summer was like, ooh, wearing a t-shirt? I'm like, this t-shirt was $45, motherfucker.
You should have just spit right on it.
I should have ripped it off and then beat him savagely, like a middle school gym fight. Is that anyone else's middle school or just ours? I don't know. Tough to say.
I think that's pretty standard.
Yeah. The Nuggets were playing suffocating defense in the third quarter. And I said this earlier, Mike Malone, their coach, was like beaming from ear to ear. Like he had just like taught his puppy how to like pee outside. I bring that up for no particular reason. But that's got to be a great feeling. They go into halftime down 23. I'm sure he was like coaching the shit out of them. Like, you know, give me every single thing, like every ounce you have for the third quarter. And if you're gassed by the end of it, you know, like, who cares if we lose? Like, just give me everything you've got or what? Something, you know, he said some shit like that. And they actually did it. Like, that's got to make you feel like, yeah, like, I'm in control. And he was all smiley and shit. Like, he looked like a little kid. It was kind of cute. So the Nuggets got the lead. It was a almost impossible to fathom 27-2 run. At this point, Brad, what was going through your mind? Did you leave the bar? Were you like, I'm out of here?
No, I watched the whole game at the bar, which is rare, but I knew I was prepping for this podcast, so I was committed.
Yes.
But I thought for sure the Knicks would lose because I have this mentality that's built upon the past five or however many years that I've been watching them that they're going to lose. They'll have a terrible third quarter, and the game will get away from them, and they'll lose like usual.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we saw what happens. Like, they didn't give up. They were resilient.
Yeah, and that's like, and that's huge. Like, everyone coughs up huge leads in the NBA, especially with, like, three-pointers being as prominent as they are. It's the ability to be like, all right, fuck it, that's embarrassing, but keep going. And the guy, like, leading that resurgence, of course, was KP. It was tied at 75, and then he had the sequence where he caught a ridiculous alley-oop from Courtney Lee. Then
that was, I mean, like, how loud was the garden for that? People must have gone crazy.
Oh, they went apeshit for it. And then, so it was like apeshit level one. And then they went down the court, and he had this savage block of, like, whatever Plumlee is on Denver. I think Mason Plumlee.
And the he was guard, making a boatload of money. I was looking at their salaries. I think there's somebody else making more, but he's making a lot of money.
Yeah, that one raised some eyebrows during the offseason. He was a valuable player for Portland, but, yeah. People talk about Hardaway's contract.
Which I'm coming around on.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to that in a second. Let's save Hardaway for a second. So, Kristaps gets this alley-oop dunk. Crowd goes wild. Savage block of Plumlee. He also kind of, like, shoved him over as he was blocking him. But it was like, the referees, they're like us. Like, if you just, like, sun them sometimes, they're like, all right, we're going to let that go. Like, you fouled him, but, like, you sunned him. And they kind of, you know. And so, so it was a little bit of a foul, but it was a total sunning. And then they came down the court after that block. And he took a three that I thought for sure was going in, and like the world was going to end. But it rattled, it rattled out. But he had, you know, given them the lead going into the fourth. Okay, so then we're in the fourth. O'Quinn comes in, like I mentioned earlier. He's looking good. He's shoring up the defense. Nilakina comes in. He has a ridiculous pass to I forget who. It might have been Lee, and then he got, like, sunned blocked by someone, so it kind of, like, reversed the ridiculous pass. But then on the next possession, Nilakina hit a three. I was losing my mind. They were going back and forth. It was nuts. Clyde called it kaleidoscopic pace.
What?
Yeah. I mean, he's like, that is some art right there. Like, to use kaleidoscopic to describe fast pace?
Yeah, what was he going for there?
I think it's kind of beautiful because, like, an NBA game, it's sort of like they are like, it's like these 10 points that are kind of like flowing into and out of each other and coming together.
Damn.
Yeah, and then spreading out in like unpredictable patterns, but with beauty like a kaleidoscope. It's sort of why I love the Portland Trailblazers logo. Yeah. Do you know the story behind that, Brad?
No.
So it's this kind of like pinwheel, and it's like five lines that go like in one direction and five lines that go in another direction, kind of like in a circle. And it actually represents like the two teams like playing against each other.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah, and people say it's like shitty because it's not like competitive. Like it includes both teams like playing and not just one team sunning the other one. But I think it's really cool. I don't know.
Like, wow. I really learned something today.
Yeah, right? This is what Locked On Knicks is all about. Right after Clyde's kaleidoscopic pace, which just like had me gobsmacked with just the profundity of his phrasing, our boy Tim Hardaway Jr., who I promised we'd get back to, hit a bunch of threes. He actually scored all of his points in the fourth quarter. He had 13 points on 4 of 6 shooting. This is for the game now. 3 of 5 from 3. 2 for 2 from the free throw line. 1 rebound. Oh, no, sorry. This is in the fourth quarter. Sorry. The stat line, my bad. 13 points, 4 of 6 shooting, 3 for 5 from 3, 2 for 2 from the free throw line, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. For the game, he had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and he had one, like, just incredibly sick behind-the-back fast break pass to Courtney Lee in the third quarter before he had scored yet. But he was huge in the fourth quarter for the Knicks. So where are you on the Hardaway roller coaster right now, Brad? Are you?
I'm, of course, thrilled with this signing. We got him for very cheap, and his contract will pay off for many years to come.
Oh, man. So he did great. Like we said before, KP down the stretch came through. There were MVP chants for him when he was at the free throw line. This was his stat line for last night. 38 points on 14 for 26 shooting.
Career high.
Career high, 38 points. Just too shy of Jokic last year, unfortunately. But he was 4 for 7 from 3. A perfect 6 for 6 from the line. 7 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 2 assists. No Knick has ever scored 30 points in 5 of the first 6 games of a season. And no one has done that in any NBA season. No one has done that since Michael Jordan in their first 3 NBA seasons.
Damn, I knew this was going to Jordan. It had to be.
Yeah.
Who else would do that shit?
I mean, I think you and I have been, I know you and I have been on the Kristaps train since like minute one. So we're like, oh yeah, sure. You know, he's like fucking sick. But we, like, I have to constantly remind myself to take a step back. I'm like, wait, I've been like kind of bullshitting about it, although I believe it, for years, but like now it's actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing stuff about him on random websites like Business Insider and shit. Like, this isn't like strictly Knicks related websites and like the posts that I'm seeing Kristaps articles. Like, it's everywhere.
I mean, he's the best Knicks since Patrick Ewing, right? Already?
I mean, yes.
I feel like he's better than the peak Melo that we got this year, I mean, so far.
Yeah. I can't argue with that.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'm kind of like, you know, I've always been, I wouldn't say anti-tank, but totally fine with the team winning more games than people might want, if that means that, like, players are developing. So if Kristaps keeps looking ridiculous and they make, like, the playoffs in, like, the 8th or 7th seed, are you okay with that? Or are you like?
Of really, course. Yeah, I'm okay with it. With this team, yes, I have no issues with that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, you tank to get Kristaps, and if you get Kristaps, like, woo.
Yeah, there you go. You'll be able to sign someone.
Yep.
You know,
and they've got other nice young pieces. Noah Keane is only going to get better. I think Hardaway is only going to get better. We're seeing his shot starting to come around. Like, he wasn't going to shoot that poorly.
And you want to get them some playoff experience. Like, you don't want these guys to get in, like, when they finally have, like, the team that's going to get them to the championship. You don't want it to be their first time in the playoffs.
Yeah, totally. So, hey, I mean, we may be jumping the gun a bit. It's only 6 games.
You think championship talk is jumping the gun?
But if he is as good as we've all said he can possibly be, and if he makes that leap this season, like, they're going to be playoff contenders. It's still very early, but if he keeps this up, why can't they be a 500 team or close to it, you know? So, for the game, you know, he's my, like, you know how hockey gives out 3 stars?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're giving out 3 Clydes. I mean, Kristaps is my first Clyde for this game, for sure. Would you agree with that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
No Clyde for KP this game.
My second Clyde would be Kyle O'Quinn. We talked about his effect on the game before.
Yeah.
And then my third Clyde would go to Jarrett Jack. Just because he had 10 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, only 2 turnovers. Not so bad. He's really somehow against all odds knocked this out of the park. You know what? Bonus Clyde to Hardaway. He gets the fourth Clyde.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's so easy to hang your head and be like, fuck it, I suck. But he didn't, and he exploded in the fourth quarter to help win the game. So, that was huge. And one more bonus Clyde goes to Giannis Porzingis.
Kristaps' brother because I made fun of his training regimen all off season. I was like, he's got his shorts rolled up. It looks like a diaper. He's got some weird bald guy like massaging his belly and stretching his big toe and all this stuff. But he's just a beast. Whatever Giannis was doing, he knows what he's doing. Shouts to you. Shouts to you, Giannis. Okay. I know that you wanted to talk about something that we've talked about on the show before, Brad, and that's jersey ads.
Yeah, just a quick thing about the jersey ads. So when the Knicks played the Cavs on Sunday, I was like, damn, the Cavs have the best jersey ad in the league. And I thought it was Athlete's Foot. And then I was looking at all the jersey ads today, and I realized it's Goodyear. for whatever reason, the Goodyear logo is a foot.
I think it's like what's the guy? The winged...
The Greek myth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But how is it not the blimp? The blimp not their logo? Because I was like, how is Athlete's Foot even still a company? I guess they're not. But, I mean, I guess it's not... it's also not disclosed how much these companies are paying for this ad space. Supposedly the Warriors are getting, $15 or $20 million a year.
Really?
But I can't imagine Squarespace is paying that much to the Knicks.
Does it bother you?
No.
No? I can see either way for you. This isn't shocking to me, but I wouldn't be...
Yeah, at first, I was kind of pissed about it, but now that I'm watching the games, it's not that big a deal. If I were to buy a jersey, it wouldn't be on it, so I don't really care. Yeah. It's not that distracting.
You can buy the jerseys without the things on them, the ads on them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm not going to repeat the whole spiel I went into, but in short, it's just there's so much ridiculous bullshit in the presentation of NBA games, an ad on the jersey. Who cares? I don't know. I don't really care. Yeah.
We're so bombarded. I was at the New York Magazine had their 50th anniversary issue or something. And this guy who was a taxi driver in the late 70s and early 80s took a bunch of pictures, and I was looking at them today, and there are pictures from all around the city, and there's no advertising. It's so weird. Really fucking everywhere now.
Yeah.
It's so obnoxious. So a little thing on a jersey is doesn't even register with me anymore. So I'm just bombarded 24 hours a day.
We're definitely in Minority Report, scrolling ads all over your face, everywhere look. I hate the now they have screens in the subway car, high def, I don't know, video screens, and they show videos in the subway car. Nope. That drives me nuts because I can't stop looking at it. It's the same 5-second ad of my favorite is. They have the generic people. They're green and blue and stuff, and they're outlined. There's no detail to illustrate don't man spread and stuff. And there's one that's feeling sick, and they show this guy. It's a red stick figure who stumbles to a subway pole like a drunk hobo, and it's don't go on the tracks to be sick, or it's stay away. I can't figure out. I don't watch it closely. I watch it absent-mindedly. That's the whole thing. It turns you into a zombie. And I've seen it a million times. I'm not even sure what it's trying to say. It's if you're going to be drunk, don't fall on the tracks. It's something like that.
Right. But, something along those lines.
But
I have an ad now at my local or a video screen above the ATM at my bodega. So I can't even if I'm standing there waiting for a sandwich, I have to watch Kit Kat commercials. As I'm trying to look out the window, it's just
I remember when I got my smartphone, I'm like, this is going to revolutionize waiting in line for my sandwich, in the bodega at lunch. And now it's a prison. It's the worst part of my life. That's the whitest thing I've ever said. So that's not true, but it's a constant buzz that only makes your life worse. If you get home and you've been staring at a screen, I get up from my desk to take a piss, and I whip out my phone, as I walk to the bathroom. It's horrible. And then you come
there up was and... a There Sorry. Was a great meme the other day that was I go home from staring at my nightmare box to looking at my portable nightmare box when I'm home. It's exactly what life is.
And even if it was only pictures of
cheese and like porn and like stuff that you want to look at, it's still like ruining, like, forget Trump and all that shit, which is like horrifying, but you know, just to stare at something like that all day is like not good. I want to close by just going over a couple of the offensive and defensive trends that we've been keeping track of here at Locked On Knicks and see how they went this past game. In the, you know, the first couple losses of the season, the Knicks couldn't shoot for shit. Against Denver, they shot 58.8% effective field goal percentage. That's the one that counts three-pointers as being more than two-pointers and adjusts the field goal percentage. So 58.8%, that's the 86th percentile in the league. So they shot wonderfully. And they shot 43% from three, which is 75th percentile, interestingly enough. But only 1 for 6 on their corner threes. So they randomly struggled on corner threes again, which is supposed to be like the easiest three by far. But
a corner three is the easiest three? I thought that's the hardest three.
See, when I was growing up, I always had difficulty there because I had trouble judging distance without the backboard. But in the NBA, it's a closer three-point shot, and these guys are so good that, yeah, like that, they're not worried about that shit. Like, that screwed up me, but is that what you were thinking? Like,
no, I mean, and just the fact that you could use the backboard to actually get the ball in the basket, not just for perspective.
But from three, you don't want to do that. I mean, that's, you know.
Somebody did it yesterday on the Nuggets, and it was pretty ugly.
Oh, Jokic did at the end of the game, like a bum. Yeah. Wiggins did it the other day. Melo hit a three-pointer to win the game for Oklahoma City, and then he didn't because Wiggins came down and banked in a three for Minnesota, and I was cracking up.
I mean, even if it's not like a straight bank, like it can knock off the rim and then hit off the backboard, like that's not happening when you're doing it from the corner.
But yeah, it's because it's so much closer. But the Knicks shot a lot better, and as we see, they won because they shot a lot better. It was one of their big reasons. Turnovers, which they really struggled with at first and then cleaned up. We were back to ground zero, basically. They turned over the ball on 23.5% of their possessions last night.
What?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
It's possible. It's the truth. They had something like... So, I'm getting these numbers from cleaning the glass, and they take away garbage time and end of quarter heaves. So there's a few less possessions, but that makes it so the Knicks had something like 98 possessions last night, and they turned it over like 22 times or something. Let me just look at the box score real quick because I want to get
pretty
this.
Pretty good website name, Cleaning the Glass.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have to... What is this? I'm asked to sign up for something on NBA. Just show me the box score. You piece of trash. Anyway.
What, have you never been on a website? Every website you go on now. There's no exceptions.
I know. Everybody plays a fool. We talked about their half-court offense past couple of episodes and how abysmal they were in half-court. Part of the reason I was imploring them to run in transition. Last night, they scored 89.9 points per 100 possessions in the half court, which is actually the best it's been all year, and it's the 48th percentile. So they're like right at average in terms of half court scoring for that last night. We've been talking about also their shot selection. 40% of their shots were mid-range shots, which is one of the highest in the league and should be bad. However, they hit 53.6% of their mid-range shots last night and 61.5% of their long twos, the least efficient shot in basketball. It's an elite percentage. It's like top two or three teams. And that's the Kristaps MVP effect.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, I want them to shoot, get shots at the rim and get shots from beyond the arc, but if Kristaps is going to shoot 61% all year, I'll take a bunch of long twos. That's all right. Transition. They're about twice as efficient in transition. So we always want to see them run. 21.4% of their plays came in transition last night, which is better than average, better than league average. So that was a nice look from them. And offensive rebounds. They rebounded 39% of offensive rebound opportunities. which is tops in the league, or it's like number two in the league. So,
nice
domination from Enes Kanter and company. And they also got to the line at a really good clip. 26% of their shots they got fouled on. So, of their possessions ended in fouls. So, really good upper echelon there. Let's talk about defense. Continuing problem of giving up open threes. The Nuggets shot 43% of their shots from three last night, which is a very big number. And they shot 42.5% from three. So, you know, people are waiting for the other shoe to drop. If they keep giving up all these open threes and letting guys just drain them, they're going to get sunned, like, very soon.
Yeah.
They've been sunning guys. They're due for a sunning, though, with a couple of these stats. Transition defense. They let the Nuggets run 22% of the time, which is a very high rate. But we saw it was all those turnovers, that just ridiculous amount of turnovers. And they weren't getting back after turnovers either, unfortunately. The Nuggets were scoring 1.8 points per play off of their steals. So if they had, you know, had a game with 100 possessions that were all steals, they would have scored 180 points. So
quality extrapolation.
And, like, you know, off a steal, you're going to give up some points, but that's, like, even given that, they did a bad job at getting back on all those steals last night. However, their interior defense has remained unbelievably rugged. They held them to 40% shooting at the rim and 35% shooting from mid-range. If you remember, the Knicks shot 53% from mid-range. The Nugs shot 35% from mid-range. Not nearly as many of their shots came in mid-range. Most of them were at the rim and three-pointers. But when they did, the Knicks were just like, nah, we're going to sun you. That's the thing. Like, we talked about the centers. If you have all these big guys, maybe against, you know, I'm not saying this is a formula to take it all away to the championship, but you'll probably really give a couple of teams, like, huge fits with all that hype.
Right.
And all that length. And that certainly happened last night. I think the Nuggets had a lot of time, a lot of trouble dealing with the Knicks' size. That's all I got for this game. Do you have any closing thoughts, Brad? Do you have anything we didn't get to that you wanted to talk about?
No, I'm good, man.
All right.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good to have you back. All the Brad heads are losing it right now, I'm sure. Do you have anything you want to plug, Brad?
Hell no. Find me on Twitter if you can. I won't accept your request. Yeah, that's it.
All right, thanks for joining us. So that was fun, right? Always an amazing time talking to Brad, one of my best friends, you know, one of my most fruitful professional collaborators. Just a wonderful human being. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Locked On Knicks, our 200th episode. I hope you're with us for the next 2 million. If you like us, go on iTunes, rate us, give us 5 stars. That'll be good. Follow me on Twitter, Locked On Knicks, for lots of bonus takes. I like to lose my mind during the games and then be reasoned and, you know, a lot more professional in the morning. So I think you'll enjoy it. Follow Locked On Knicks. If you follow the podcast, why not, right? All right. Talk to you guys later. Peace.